Hello, everybody. You're looking live at Fansville, a college football utopia.
Fansville.
Where the rivers flow with ice-cold Dr. Pepper.
Delicious.
Where every day is Saturday and everyone's a fan, even babies.
Fan babies.
And the seasons never change because the only season is college football season. Get a taste of Fansville this fall during a college football game near you. Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Grab some today.
Thanks for joining us on the Friday Groove edition of Freddie and Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman, my man Jonathan Hood, in for Ian Fitzsimmons on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, as well as iHeartRadio. The phone number is always there for you to hang out with us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Mr. Hood, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm doing great. Are you kidding me? It's Friday night. Mm-hmm. This is the primer before I go out. So while we do the show, I'm just going to get dressed, make sure I got my outfit on, make sure I got my Dracar.
Good Lord. So. Did you get a part of the gift set for Christmas or something else? That's what I want to know. Did you get like four bottles in one for $35? Did you get that Dracar Noir set? Not that I know about these things or have been a person who got these kind of gifts at all.
I got everything that I need. I got, of course, four sprays with the Dracar, by the way. Two on one side, two on the other. Oh, I'm ready to go.
Okay, we're all ready to go, but Dez Bryant, unfortunately, is not ready to go with the New Orleans Saints. On the final play of practice on Friday, he had this happen to him, according to Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL Insider.
It happened on the very last play of practice on Friday. And again, as one head coach texted, it's not a surprise. When you're away from football and you're not staying in football shape, that's very different than being in shape alone. And so the doctors at this point in time believe it's a quote-unquote formality that Dez Bryant has a torn Achilles.
This is what stinks for me. Number one, because I was glad to see Dez Bryant back in the National Football League. Honestly, Jonathan, I didn't think an NFL team was going to take a chance on him. The fact that a Saints team was willing to do that this late in the season shows how much they believed that they needed somebody like him, and also make sure that Michael Thomas did not see triple coverage, their outstanding wide receiver. But I still wonder with the New Orleans Saints, not saying that his NFL career is over. That would be presumptuous to put that out there. But I wonder how much of a chance he'll get with the Saints again, because it's one thing to have a torn Achilles when you're 23 years of age. You got plenty of time to bounce back from that. Dez Bryant, when he comes back after 8-9 months, is going to be 30 years of age. I wonder if the Saints will have moved on from Dez Bryant, and then it becomes the same thing all over again with Dez Bryant trying to find a team to get back in the National Football League.
I kind of think so, too. I think that takes exactly what Dez Bryant's going to be going through, Freddie, because this was his second opportunity to kind of show exactly what he can do. And I feel bad for Dez Bryant after being out of work and looking to make a difference and try to enhance an already potent offense. And so I thought it was a great idea by the Saints to try to find someone to replace Cam Meredith, to try to replace Ted Ginn Jr., someone that could be able to run routes and be able to help out with what's already a very good offense. But it just clearly is not going to work because of the injury. Maybe he'll have another opportunity for another camp maybe next year. But I just know that at this point in time, we're doing this conversation in November, it's going to be hard for him to get on anybody's field this year.
Because I believe this was going to work, because Dez Bryant, you know, he would have done anything in his power. He had one game circled the minute that the Saints and Dez Bryant decided to join forces. He had that game circled at the end of this month against the Dallas Cowboys to put it in their face, to show them how wrong they were for letting him go, to show him how dirty they were for cutting him that close where he did not have a lot of options to stay in the National Football League and join it with another football team. I'm not saying it's killing him that he will not have an opportunity to do that, but I'm sure there's something inside of him going, man, of all things that happened to me, to happen to me now. But it goes back to that term, what you said, football shape and in shape are two different things with Dez Bryant. That's why so many football players are always concerned when they have so much time away from their team and then they have to get right back into something like that. And that is something that people were concerned about when it comes to Dez Bryant. For example, Teddy Bruschi, ESPN NFL analyst, when he was on Golic and Wingo, he talked about that same thing before the injury happened in which Dez Bryant tore his Achilles at a practice with the Saints.
The best offenses to me have the triangle, have the three threats that a quarterback can go to. If Dez can be that for them, they're even better. I mean, Dez, I haven't seen him play football in a long time.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You know, we can show as many combat catches that he's gone up and taken the ball away and things like that. But hamstrings are real,
yeah,
in my opinion. You know, you come out and you've been training and things like that. For him to possibly get a hammy in the first 2 weeks, there's a high chance of that, right, too, because he's been inactive for so long.
I agree with you, Freddie, that November 29th game would have really paid dividends for the Saints. Again, you can imagine Dez Bryant in a Saints uniform standing on the star because it was going to be in Dallas. Oh. So you could just think about what that would have looked like. Oh. But it wasn't even about this Sunday's game against the Bengals. It really probably was about the Eagles game on the 18th, maybe even the 22nd, for him to get acclimated with the offense, and for him to be able to help out what the Saints bring to the table. But keep in mind that Michael Thomas is still there, Alvin Kamara is still there, Benjamin Watson's still there. So the 7-1 Saints team has not looked back since their opener against Tampa. So I think they're going to be good, but it would have been really nice to see Dez Bryant out there trying to prove everybody wrong, saying, yeah, I've been sitting on this couch for a long time, but I could still play this game.
He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio. It's Freddie and Fitzsimmons. Dez Bryant tearing his Achilles in his second practice with the Saints. Part of Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Best phones, best networks, no contracts. Going back to the Saints, whatever decision they're going to make on Dez Bryant, that's further down the road. This is still a team that, it's amazing how the perception of the Saints changed after they beat the Los Angeles Rams. Many people wondered, are they a contender with the Los Angeles Rams? Can they beat that football team? If they beat that football team, what does it say about the Saints? After they beat the Rams, they immediately put them to the front of the line in the NFC, that this is the team to beat in the NFC because of what they did to the Rams. Never mind the fact that people forgot that the Rams were down 35-14, came all the way back to tie that game at 35. They're going to be fine without Dez Bryant. They were fine before him. They're going to be fine after him. Whoever they decide to bring in after him, Sean Payton and Drew Brees will do their due diligence, because those two did not get injured at practice today. Dez Bryant got injured, not Sean Payton and Drew Brees. They're going to be fine, but it's still the question of, if they have another injury to a wide receiver, then what when it comes to the New Orleans Saints? Because even Drew Brees may not be enough to overcome that.
Yeah, here's what you look at. You know that this system works because we've seen it time and time again with New Orleans. And we continue to keep our focus on the Tom Brady's and the Drew Brees of the world because of how old they are, but yet they're still getting it done. Well, the system is so offensive friendly for them. Yes, the weapons matter, but also the system matters. So it's almost a plug and play situation, Freddie, for this Saints team, but you just can't put anybody out there. You still have to be able to establish a rapport with the offense, with Drew Brees, for him to get you the football. Now, again, I'm not looking for any more injuries for this Saints team because it's too much fun. You talk about a main event matchup that we saw with the Rams and the Saints in an NFL sometimes that you can't find that marquee matchup. You saw it with those two teams. And so from the Saints standpoint, 7-1, you know, taking on the Bengals and then followed by the Eagles and Falcons, it doesn't get any easier, but hopefully they can be able to maintain until they can find a way to find others that can help offensively.
No matter what Dez Bryant does, and I wish him nothing but the best in recovering from this injury, I don't believe the Saints are going to give him another opportunity to give him a contract next year because of his age. And also, this organization does not stand pat. They're the kind of organization that they don't find a quality receiver in free agency. They don't find a quality veteran. They'll go out and draft somebody and find somebody that they believe they can stay healthy, and they'll take a chance on a cheaper version of a Dez Bryant. I don't know if his NFL career is over, but I don't think his Saints career is ever going to be that, and it never got a chance to get started based on what happened today, this injury. I think the Saints will move on from him and go another route, and I think Dez Bryant have to find another football team and hope they give him an opportunity to try to be in the NFL to see what he can do.
I mean, for Instagram, he could show that he had a Saints uniform and a number, but he just never will get it dirty. Yeah. He will never have a stain on it. Mm-hmm. He could just wear it out to the club.
Will he get a championship ring if they win? Because this was raised by two of our producers, Chris Mitchell and Spencer, that if they win the NFL championship, if they win the Super Bowl, they asked, does Dez Bryant get a Super Bowl ring? I said, well, he was on the roster. He was signed to a contract. It would stand to reason that he would get a Super Bowl ring, even though he didn't play one down for them.
the Saints are a class organization. And when you have a championship team, Freddie, I always think there's extra rings hanging around. I always think that they might print too many. It's just kind of like, hey, you know what, Dez? Here you go, kid. And he just kind of throws it to him like the kid throwing the Coke in the commercial from the 70s. Well, yeah. I think the same situation. They just throw him a ring. If they win the championship, Dez deserves it because he actually was a Saint, even though he did not play one down.
Put it this way. If the water boy can get one, if the team manager can get one,
right,
if the administrators can get one, working behind the scenes and doing all the dirty work, then even though he did not play 1 second for the Saints on an NFL field in an NFL regular season game, Dez Bryant may have a chance to get one. And how ironic would that be? Never got one with Dallas, but may get one and not play it down for the New Orleans Saints. And that's part of Straight Talk Wireless. They have nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks. You can always follow us on Twitter at the 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed. Jonathan's handle at TweetJHood. My handle at ColemanESPN. The reality when it comes to what the Bucks did last night to Golden State, and the reality when it comes to Steph Curry. That's next on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests on Freddie and Fitzsimmons appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Here's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Anytime a guest stops by to hang out with us, they hear thanks to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Phone number is there for you to hang out with us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And Jonathan, I knew it. The minute that the Bucks beat the eyeballs out of Golden State last night, even with an injured Steph Curry who left that game midway through the third quarter with a strain of his adductor, seems like it's not a serious injury, but he's not going to play on Saturday this weekend for Golden State. I knew what was going to be said. Oh, the Bucks made a statement. The reality is the Bucks are for real. They're ready to challenge in the East. No LeBron James. Look out for the Bucks. And I said, have you not been paying attention to Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks for the last couple of years that they've been on the come up? The way they beat Golden State last night, it was everybody saw this guy. Not everybody, but a good amount of people for the first time. The reality is we should have known, and you had to have known, that Milwaukee was going to be more than a contender in the East with a LeBron-less East. It was as if people discovered the moon for the first time based on what Milwaukee did last night to the Golden State Warriors on their home court. Having issues with Jonathan Hood, we're going to dial him up once again and have a chance to bring him back since he's doing the show with me from Chicago. I'm in Bristol, Connecticut. He's in Chicago, Illinois. So we'll have a chance to bring him back up again and get his thoughts on the reality when it comes to the Bucks making a statement over the Golden State Warriors by winning last night 134 by scoring 134 points. I understand it because the Bucks are good. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's gotten to a point he's a top four, top five player. At times he looks like a top three player. That the only two guys better than him in the NBA. One is Anthony Davis and the other is LeBron James. And there's no doubt you can make an argument for Kevin Durant, who's the most efficient scorer still in the NBA by what he's able to do. But just seeing how he played last night, no Draymond Green out there to get on his nerves and be a pain in the you know what. But the reality is the Bucks have been like that for the last couple of years. People have not been paying attention, and nor should they have, because the Bucks have been an afterthought for a long, long time. But having a generational player like that in Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he was all over the highlight shows today, what he was able to do versus Golden State. If he had done that to Houston, if he had done that to maybe LeBron and the Lakers, nobody should even believe the Lakers are going to be a championship team in the West. They're interesting. They can be whatever, but because LeBron James is there. By what he was able to do to the Golden State Warriors, that left a big impression on so many people. But people went overboard. I'm thinking, chill. He's been like this for more than a second when it comes to that reality, as far as I'm concerned, with the Milwaukee Bucks, what they did to the Golden State Warriors last night. And on the other side of that, when it comes to reality of Steph Curry, Having that injury last night, the conversation came up immediately. Golden State's going to be okay, mainly because they have plenty of guys that can make plays and make shots. There's no doubt about that. They still have Klay Thompson. They still have Kevin Durant. They're also going to get Draymond Green back from his injury. When DeMarcus Cousins is ready, then they really become the five horsemen when it comes to the Golden State Warriors. They're one of the few teams in the NBA that they can lose a superstar like that and Steph Curry. They're going to be more than okay. That's not news to you. But it's just different when Steph Curry's on the floor. It was a collective gasp last night when he had to leave the floor with an injury because they know of his importance to the team. He is the most important player in that franchise, as great as Kevin Durant is, as indispensable as Draymond Green has shown to be, as terrific of a scorer and an underrated defender that Klay Thompson is. It is just different when Steph Curry is making plays and making shots. And not saying that he was playing with a mission statement on his mind, but it seemed as he was trying to say to everybody, y'all keep forgetting about me, and yet you don't want to give me the credit that I deserve for being one of the great players, one of the great point guards in this league. That's how he had been playing until last night when he suffered that injury. Then we don't know how long that's going to take him out. But watch how Golden State is not as effective, because you can't be when you don't have a guy like that in Steph Curry who does as well with a team of stars and with that basketball getting everybody ready as anybody in the league. Hood, your thoughts on Jonathan Hood's still not back. We're still trying to dial him up here on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. That being said, with Golden State, no matter what happened last night with the Bucks, not a lot of people are saying, well, you know, Golden State's vulnerable. Man, Golden State should worry. Guys like that, like Giannis Antetokounmpo, they can take advantage of that basketball team. Maybe this could be the end when it comes to Golden State. It's not going to be a certainty that they're going to win a championship. The people that say that are the people that don't want Golden State to win a championship. They hate the fact that they've been able to not only get a Kevin Durant who left Oklahoma City to go to their team and keep Steph Curry and have Klay Thompson and have Draymond Green. And then they get DeMarcus Cousins when many people are ambivalent or very, whatever, about him after coming off a torn Achilles. So people blame Golden State for having the audacity to get the best players to make sure they have the best team and the best depth. People can't stand it. So any kind of chink, any kind of dent in their armor, they're looking to make sure that they can use that to full effect against Golden State. And to be honest, the NBA would be a lot better if you believed a team had a chance of beating Golden State. That's why Milwaukee got all that love last night. That's why Houston got so much love last year when they were up 3-2 in the Western Conference Finals. And they had double-digit leads in Game 6 and in Game 7, even without Chris Paul. And they let it get away. And that narrative was, well, Chris Paul was healthy. If he was there, that would have been the end of Golden State. Once again, Golden State gets lucky. Everything falls in their favor. We know what the narrative would have sounded if they were not able to take advantage of that, but they were able to. People want to see the Giant be taken down. It's just like the book Gulliver's Travels. They want Golden State to be tied by all the denizens of Lilliput, where they can't get away and they have to bust their way out of the chains that have been put on them. And this team seems to time and time again find a way to get it done and not stay satisfied, not just become complacent. So it's easy to pick at them. It's easy to pick at Steph Curry. It's easy to do those things when you know, realistically, when they're fully ready, when they're fully 100, you're not beating that team in a 7-game series. And plenty of NBA teams know that. They don't have to admit it, but we all know the truth. It is going to be hard to beat that team 4 times in a 7-game series. Cleveland did it, and it took Draymond Green being thrown out of Game 5 to set all that in motion and give the Cavaliers credit. They took advantage of it. They didn't leave anything to chance. They made plays. LeBron did his thing. Kyrie Irving did his thing. Kevin Love played defense on Steph Curry like he had never played in his life. It was a perfect storm for them. But since then, they have owned the NBA when Kevin Durant made that move, and people can't stand it. That's why that's the reality with the Bucks. People wanted to see Golden State get their comeuppance like that. And also having Steph Curry injured, people looking to say, oh, that, there it is. We'll see how good they are without him. Golden State is going to be fine, and the NBA is not going to be worse off when he decides to get that injury out of his system again. Is the end near for Joe Flacco with the Baltimore Ravens? That's next on ESPN Radio.
Hey, college football fans, Kirk Herbstreit here. Whether you're home gating or tailgating this season, score big on game day eats with Eckrich Smoked Sausage. And now you can enter the 2019 Road to the National Championship sweepstakes. You can join me at the College Football Playoff National Championship in Santa Clara, California, for a chance to throw to win $1 million. To enter and learn more, visit EckridgeFootball.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Sweepstakes ends 12/20/18. Contest rules online.
He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons. Presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Intimate guest stops by to hang out with us. They hit thanks to the show Pennzoil Performance Line. So Joe Flacco, his end in Baltimore may be a lot sooner than even he believes, and maybe other people will leave. A hip injury may lead to Lamar Jackson, the first-round draft pick, maybe starting after the bye week is over for the Baltimore Ravens. Let's get the thoughts of Jameson Hensley. Does a great job covering the Baltimore Ravens, part of ESPN NFL Nation. He joins us here on Freddie and Fitzsimmons. How much drama is there, Jameson, about the injury to Joe Flacco, and all of a sudden Lamar Jackson may have to get ready sooner than later?
Yeah, this is supposed to be the quiet bye week, but the way the Ravens season is going, I think everyone should have expected this. There is a lot of drama surrounding the quarterback position, because you have Joe Flacco, who he injured his hip, and it's the right part of his hip, on the opening series against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He played the entire game, didn't miss a snap. But you could tell over on that sideline, he kept flexing the hip throughout the game. It was noticeably bothering him, not to the point, I think, where it really affected his gameplay. And even after the game, he said that he denied, you know, hey, it did not affect the way he played out there. But you just don't know when a player gets injured, how he's going to deal with that throughout the week. And from what we've learned is that this hip injury is a little bit serious than anybody thought. And he's undergoing tests this week. They probably won't know until the beginning of next week the severity of it. If Flacco is sidelined, the Ravens' options are to go to either rookie first-round quarterback Lamar Jackson or the more experienced starter in Robert Griffin III. The expectation is with Lamar Jackson, just because leading up to this week, Coach Sean Harbaugh said he wanted to see Jackson on the field more. So I think a lot of people are concluding, hey, if they were trying to push a little bit more playing time towards Jackson, now that Flacco's injured, we could see Jackson making his first NFL start November 18th against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Jameson, what has stood out most about Lamar Jackson's play when he's had his opportunities with Baltimore?
The athleticism. And you can tell when he comes onto the field, the defense is totally keyed to what he's doing. When he can get out on the edge, he's an explosive playmaker. And I think where the Ravens really haven't allowed him to shine or allowed him to grow as a quarterback is throwing the ball. And he has 12 attempts on the year, but most of them have come in mop-up duty against the Bills and the Carolina Panthers. When he comes into the game into these specialty packages, it's more of a wildcat type of format where it's more of a read option, just running game. And I think to really see and to figure out where Lamar Jackson is going, they need to allow him to drop back, go in the pocket, and throw downfield. I think that's the only way where we can really evaluate him. But so far, when he comes on the field, you just know the defense is looking at him, because he's a player that, even in the limited time he's been on the field, he's the Ravens' second-leading rusher this season.
Wow, Jameson Hensley with great stuff. ESPN NFL Nation Baltimore Ravens reporter with Jonathan Hood and Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. What does it say about the Baltimore Ravens that they're not practicing at all during the bye?
Yeah, I think it shows that they're very banged up. And I think because the one thing we know about John Harbaugh is he's not afraid to work his team. And this is a Ravens team that has come into the bye, losers was three straight. They're 4-5. And the last time, their last game against Pittsburgh heading into that week, they had 10 players on the injury report. And a lot of the players that went into that Steelers game, they played injured. So I think he just felt that, because this is an older team, that working them now would just not serve any kind of long-term good for them, and that he felt that – and you rarely hear a coach say he felt his team is just a step slower than the other guys, and that's what Harbaugh said. And so I think he realizes this is a very tired and banged-up team, and for the better good of this team, no practice this week. Let's give them some mental and physical break and then bring them back the next week and prepare for Cincinnati.
Jameson, like every team in the NFL, you strive to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. But looking at the way the Ravens are right now, is there any way Harbaugh survives and coaches survives going into 2019 in the same slot as a head coach?
Yeah, I mean, this offseason, his job security was much talked about, and a lot of it went back to owner Steve Bisciotti. When talking to the media back in February, he said even after last year, he contemplated firing John Harbaugh, and that's after three straight seasons of not making the playoffs. So a lot of people, I think, thought, you know what, the way Harbaugh can save his job is getting to the playoffs. I'm not sure if that would even save. I think the Ravens not only have to make the playoffs, they have to win at least one game to get in there, because at 4-5, they possibly, because the AFC is so bad, they possibly can get into the playoffs at 9-7. But still, for a team that has championship aspirations, to go 9-7, sneak into the playoffs, and get bounced in the first round, is that enough to convince the owner to say, hey, let's just keep going with this? Because if you look at the Ravens since winning the Super Bowl, they are 43-44. And so it's just been an ongoing level of mediocrity. And I think for Harbaugh to get into 2019, they have to get into the playoffs and then make an upset, whether it's, you know, going at Pittsburgh, you know, at Kansas City, at New England. They have to upset one of these teams to at least show the owner they are going in the right direction, or they can at least rebound to get back to that level.
Jameson Hensley, ESPN Baltimore Ravens reporter with Freddie Coleman and Jonathan Hood on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. You mentioned that record since the Super Bowl. What has really happened to this team that it's gotten to this point that John Harbaugh may not survive?
A lot of it is just because offensively, they just haven't got it. Defensively, they've been among the top 10, maybe not among the elite defenses that they've had in the past. But since the Super Bowl, they invested a lot into Joe Flacco, and he was coming off, you know, not only leading the Ravens to the Super Bowl, but he was the Super Bowl MVP. And one reason is that he hasn't lived up to that contract. His performance hasn't been up to that par. But also, the Ravens really have – when you look at their drafts and what they've done in free agency, they've kind of just tried to do a little patchwork here and there as far as skilled players around. I mean, Joe Flacco, the last time he had a legitimate playmaker in the backfield was Ray Rice. Wow. And when you look at his top receivers over the years, you're looking at Anquan Boldin, Steve Smith, Mike Wallace. Those are all guys on the, you know, tail end of their careers, not in, I think people would say, in their prime. And so, you know, Flacco's never had a Antonio Brown. He's never had an A.J. Green, like some of the other quarterbacks in this division. And so I think that has hurt him at times. But still, just when you look at his decision-making and his growth as a quarterback, he has never really lived up to that contract, which has always put him among the top five highest paid players in the NFL.
You know, I was wondering about the transition from general manager Ozzie Newsome to Eric DaCosta. I'm wondering the relationship of John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta. Maybe DaCosta wants to start fresh with someone new next year. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, that is a possibility. I will say that when even Ozzie Newsome as general manager, he never had the final say over head coach. That has always been owner Steve Bisciotti. So when they fired Brian Billick back in 2007, that was Bisciotti's call. Obviously, he's getting consultation from all of his football people, including the opinion of Ozzie Newsome would carry, you know, strong weight. And I think that's the same way now. If they would go in that direction and make a change at head coach, he would rely heavily what Eric DaCosta has to say and how he feels in the interview process. But at, in the end, it is going to be Hunter Stephenshoddy's call on who becomes the head coach or if they make a change at head coach. And the Ravens, much like you know the Pittsburgh Steelers, they pride themselves in stability as far as a franchise. And they've only had – this is a franchise that moved from Cleveland. First season was 1996. They've only had three head coaches. They've won two Super Bowls over that time. So they do not take change lightly. But if the Ravens don't make the playoffs, and I think in my opinion, even if they make the playoffs and don't win a game, I think they will have to make a change of head coach.
By the way, the Baltimore Ravens opened the season with 40-1 odds to win the Super Bowl. They have dropped the 100-1 odds, according to the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook. You can clearly understand why that pressure keeps increasing day by day. Jameson, great stuff, my friend. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and you take care.
Sounds good. Have a great rest of your show.
You too. Thank you so much. Jameson Hensley, ESPN Baltimore Ravens, NFL Nation reporter. If you missed what he had to say about pressure on Joe Flacco and maybe the last stand for him as quarterback and John Harbaugh as head coach, subscribe to the Freddie and Fitzsimmons podcast. You can do that and listen to the ESPN app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, there are some issues there with the Ravens as mm-hmm. we've documented, Freddie. But I think that the empty seats at M&T Bank Stadium is a problem.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, too, is that, as he mentioned, Jameson said three head coaches in 22 years. That is really a great stability. But if you are going in the wrong direction, maybe it is time for a change at some point. Maybe it's not all on Harbaugh, but Sometimes there can be head coach fatigue.
Yeah, the message is not getting through. And if guys aren't buying in, then you may have to buy him out, which seems to be the way the Baltimore Ravens are going when it comes to the future employment of John Harbaugh with that team. He's Jonathan Hood. I'm Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons. And NFL yes or no involving the Chicago Bears, Le'Veon Bell, and this poor quarterback. Keep it here on ESPN Radio.
Hey, Molly Karam here, host of ESPN's First Take, and I am super excited because football is back, and you know where you'll find me this fall, at the game, thanks to Vivid Seats, the official ticket partner of ESPN. With the Vivid Seats app, it's so easy to find awesome seats to any game, and every purchase is backed by their 100% buyer guarantee. Head to VividSeats.com and enter promo code ESPN at checkout to get 10% off your first order. Get in the action with Vivid Seats. Your team needs you.
Guaranteed promotional terms available on VividSeats.com.
He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Yeah, we were jamming to that in here. We're not going to lie about that, but we were getting our groove on with little Praz, Michelle, and Maya and Ghetto Superstar, because that's just how we do in the Friday night groove. We do that each and every Friday. As a matter of fact, speaking of our producer, Chris Mitchell was getting his groove on. He's going to be the master of ceremonies as we do a little NFL yes or no. We have to pick one or the other. Whatever category he's going to throw at us, we'll say yes or no and why. So, Chris, Big Daddy Groove Mitchell, the floor is yours.
The Bears are a legit competitor in the NFC.
I will say yes. They are a legit competitor, because look at the NFC North in particular. It's kind of like Bizarro World. Why are the Bears on top and not on the bottom? And that very well could be by the time the season ends. It very well could be, but I will say that they are definitely in the mix for sure in the NFC.
I'm going to say no. I like what I've seen from them so far. The defense has been underrated, not getting enough credit. Mitchell Trubisky has been far better in his second year than anybody could have anticipated, but they are still essentially a young football team. Not just with the players, but also with the coach. As the pressure increases, as they try to get closer and closer to a playoff berth, I can't wait to see how they handle that. As of right now, no, the Bears are not a legit competitor in the NFC.
The MVP is Chiefs quarterback Pat Mahomes to lose.
I'm going to say no, because Drew Brees has entered that conversation with the New Orleans Saints. As far as I'm concerned, he should have been in that conversation more than before. But here's another name that no one's talking about that they really, really should. That guy's J.J. Watt of the Houston Texans. People wondered about his back injury. Could he recover from that? Could he be the J.J. Watt that we saw when pound for pound he was the best National Football League player? He's gotten back close to that level. He's not there, but he's pretty darn close. Mahomes is the leader in the clubhouse, but it's not a sure thing. I'm going to say no. The MVP is not quarterback Pat Mahomes of the Chiefs to lose?
I will also say no. I will say that Mahomes definitely is the leader in the clubhouse, but I will say that Drew Brees, along with Jared Goff of the Rams, I'll throw him in there. And a little bit of a dark horse. How about Philip Rivers and the job he's done with the Chargers?
Well done.
So I will also throw him in there as well. This is not a slight on my guy Todd Gurley from Georgia with the Rams also, but I'm just saying that I don't think it's a fait accompli that Patrick Holmes is the number one guy moving forward, because there's other contenders there. So I'll say no.
He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio's Freddie and Fitzsimmons. Doing a little NFL yes or no. The intermission is over. Back to Chris Mitchell.
Le'Veon Bell's return to the Steelers will be smoother than many people think.
I believe that it has been over. I guess in a way, it's just been stated so much that the Steelers are out of control, that because of Le'Veon Bell, that it's just coming apart at the seams. And I don't think that that's the case. I think that we have to give the Steelers and that organization a little bit more credit than that. Le'Veon Bell coming back in the mix, I think, will be a seamless transition.
I'm with you. Yes, it will be smoother than many people think. I also believe that, yes, it'll be smoother than people want. People want chaos. Mm-hmm. They want everything to be and everybody fighting each other, and everybody's upset at Le'Veon Bell, and everybody's going to throw lettuce and tomatoes at Le'Veon Bell when he gets back into that locker room. Mm-hmm. I had David DeCastro, the outstanding all-pro guard, in this show last night. He said, yeah, we voiced our opinion before the season got started. That didn't end well. We know what this guy means to our football team, and when he comes back, we're going to be ready. So I'm with you. Yes, it's going to be smoother than people think. But also think it's, yes, it's going to be smoother than people want when Le'Veon Bell returns next week to the Steelers.
Everybody wants playmakers. I don't think that that's happening in the Steelers locker room.
Very fair point. No matter what James Conner has done.
Bills QB Nathan Peterman will not play past the first half versus the Jets on Sunday.
I'm going to say that's a yes. And it has nothing to do with the GoFundMe page that Bills fans put out there to make sure that he does not play in the NFL again. Not just for their team, but they put out a GoFundMe page. They did a latter-day Jerry Lewis telethon to make sure that Nathan Peterman never plays again.
Hey, lady.
You know, hey, Nathan. They already got Matt Barkley, Jonathan Hood on standby. He's not going to start on Sunday, but let Nathan Peterman throw a pick or two in that first half, which everybody expects. And he is not going to be out there for the second half. I say yes, he will not play. He will not play past the first half versus the Jets on Sunday.
I believe that is the case. They've given him every opportunity. That was a poor showing against Chicago last week. So I agree with you that Peterman's had his opportunities, but man, you know, McDermott's trying to keep his job too. So
yes.
I just don't see it.
If you want to keep your job, don't play that guy quarterback. That's the safest way to keep your job if you're Sean McDermott, the head coach of the Bills.
The Eagles will destroy the Cowboys on Sunday night.
Oh, I don't know destroy. I don't think that. Again, we're talking about chaos. People want that the TV show Playmakers from ESPN 2003.
Yes or no. Remember that?
Yeah, that's what they want, and that's not what's happened. I mean, yes, the Cowboys, a lot of talk about what they aren't. But what they are is a team that's not going to just come apart at the seams just because they're underachieving. I don't believe tearing them apart, no, but I believe that Philadelphia will win, yes.
I can see the Cowboys winning this game, because when you don't expect them to win, that's when they rise up. So, no, the Eagles will not destroy the Cowboys on Sunday night. The Eagles won this division last year. They didn't run away and hide when they played division games last year, and they have not run away and hide from a lot of people this year. They gave up a fourth quarter lead to the Carolina Panthers at home, so I'm with you. They may win, but no, they will not destroy the Cowboys on Sunday night.
The Browns won't win another game this year.
Oh, no, they'll win another one.
Don't do that.
They'll win another one, seriously. I mean, I know I don't trust Greg Williams as a head coach, but I think Baker Mayfield is good enough and a leader enough that they'll find a way to win at least two more games this year. So that is a no. They will win another game this year.
There's more G's in Greg's name than wins.
Points. Well done.
I mean, it is the NFL, Freddie. I mean, of course, there should be another win in there someplace for Greg Williams.
G unit.
So, yes, I believe there will be a win or two more for the Browns and Greg Williams.
Don't forget this Sunday, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers host the Miami Dolphins, presented by Vivid Seats. Pre-game begins at 3 p.m. Eastern time on most ESPN radio stations. I'll have to remember that one. Greg Williams, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Poor Dez Bryant and poor Kansas City and Pittsburgh when it comes to this. That's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
If you're a smoker, you know switching isn't easy. You've tried vapes and e-cigs. They just didn't deliver the satisfaction you expected. But Juul is different. It's not an e-cigarette. It's a vapor product that actually satisfies. Plus, Juul is simple to use, and there's no cigarette ash and no lingering odor. As a smoker, you expect a certain nicotine experience, right? Juul delivers. Give Juul a try. Check out juul.com/sports. Switch and be satisfied. Yes, you can do both. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.